Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Gene Dodaro, Comptroller General of the United States. Gene, as you mentioned in the last segment, GAO is a legislative branch agency and exempt from many of the laws that apply to the executive branch agencies. However, you do have a strategic plan that outlines the vision of the organization and the direction you want to take it in. Would you outline the plan for us, highlighting the overarching goals and strategies you are using to support your moves?
Yeah, sure, Michael. But an important point I want to make up front is that while we are exempt from many of these management reforms and legislative requirements, we voluntarily comply with them, whether it's the Government Performance and Results Act or financial management legislation, information technology legislation. You know, we believe we need to hold ourselves accountable for the same way that we've advised Congress on how the agencies ought to be held accountable. So as part of that, we do develop a strategic plan, and our strategic plan is for serving the Congress and the nation. So it's very important. It starts with consultation with the Congress and ends with consultation with the Congress and them commenting on our draft strategic plan. It sets out our vision for a five-year period of time on what type of issues we're going to pursue to support the Congress in carrying out its responsibilities to help provide leadership for the country. And we've set broad goals, and the goals are rooted in some of the constitutional responsibilities of the Congress. For example, we want to provide timely and quality service to the Congress and the federal government to address current and emerging challenges to the well-being and the financial security of the American people. And this includes everything from health care to education to transportation, et cetera, across the full breadth of the federal government's responsibilities to help achieve this broad goal. And also the second goal is to address the challenges to changing security threats and the challenges of global interdependence. And this includes areas in the national defense, mm-hmm. homeland security, international affairs, for example. Third broad goal is to help the government transform itself to improve its programs and activities to meet 21st century challenges. Here, we provide a lot of help in terms of implementation of the Government Performance and Results Act, many other management reforms across government, the application of new technologies to improve government services and operations, and to develop government's management capacities to be commensurate with the challenges that the federal government faces right now and going forward. Our last and final goal is to improve ourselves on a continuous basis and to make sure that we are, an organization that has the capacity to deliver on its mission, but to continuously improve ourselves in doing so.
That's wonderful. When I was doing the research for our interview, I came across the eight trends you identify that kind of provide the context around your strategic plan. And I found them very helpful for the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which produces the show. As you may know, we put out research announcements and we collect third-party research and we support third-party research. These eight trends really helped us clarify the direction we're going in. And I found it very interesting. Could you identify these eight trends for our audience?
Yes. The trends are very, very important, as you point out. I'm glad that you found them helpful. And we spent a lot of time making sure that we understand the trends because we believe they will shape the types of challenges federal government will face and the decisions that policymakers might have. For example, first, there are national security threats. They've obviously become more diffuse and evolving. These are areas ranging from regional instability to extremism, terrorism, proliferation of nuclear weapons, cyber terrorism. These are all things that are very important, and they're also emerging challenges and threats that can be caused by changing economic conditions, even climate change, energy interdependence issues. So it's very important for the work that we do. So that's sort of trend number one, are these broad trends and changing security threats. Second are the fiscal sustainability challenges. The federal government faces enormous challenges in this regard to make sure that we can put the federal government on a more sustainable long-term fiscal path. This is dominating a lot of the discussion now in the Congress. But we also look at the state and local sector as well, and they face many of the same challenges. Third are economic recovery and growth. Obviously, we're dealing still with the aftermath of the last recession. Unemployment's high. housing market is still weak. You know, we monitor the banking sector and other sectors of the economy as well, and look at the federal government's activities to provide training assistance and others. Global interdependence is the fourth trend, and this is very important, not only for flows of capital, which receives a lot of attention, but also other areas of trade and products that are really changing how the federal government needs to protect the public, in food safety, for example, and medical devices and drugs. The next trend, science and technology, obviously a lot of changes, nanotechnology, cloud computing, a lot of areas that are potential solutions to help both from an economic growth standpoint in our country, but also the effective and productivity of government and the private sector. But they have a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. For example, you know, cloud computing can be very helpful in driving down costs, but there are also security issues that need to be dealt with the federal government. Another trend is networks and virtualization. You know, obviously, how we learn, communicate, and deal with one another is changing dramatically across the world, and it's from mobile devices, wireless technologies, and et cetera. And this involves looking and shaping how the federal government's adapting to those changes, both from a regulatory standpoint and broadband technologies, allocation of spectrum, for example, but also how the federal government's using these devices to improve its own performance in dealing with the public. Shifting roles of government, this focuses a lot on the use of contractors. There's been a lot of discussion and debate about this, even using contractors to carry out our conflicts abroad, and how the government, federal government, should be using the contractors and what their role should be is very important. And also the last trend is demographic and social changes. You know, obviously, with the advent of the baby boom generation, there's far fewer workers now per retiree than there was when we started out these systems before. And so that's changing not only the financial status of our entitlement programs, but also bringing about other important changes in how we provide housing, transportation, immigration issues, make sure we have a workforce that can sustain economic growth in the future. And so those demographic and societal changes are very important to understand because they have important policy ramifications for the government.
Yeah, I really do believe GAO did a service, and I think folks should really take the time to look at these trends to understand what they entail, because they're in the strategic plan. They do a wonderful job of doing that. So what I'd like to do is focus in on a few of these trends. And you mentioned trend number two, fiscal sustainability. Central among the significant challenges we face is the whole national government finding, if you will, a path towards long-term sustainability. Would you elaborate on the challenges affecting the federal budget, both near and long-term?
Yes, this is a very important issue. For years, GAO has done long-range simulations of the federal government's fiscal path in order to illustrate what the long-term effects may be of policy decisions, but also changes such as demographics and others. And even before this last recession, you know, we warned that the federal government was increasingly coming along a unsustainable fiscal path. Deficits and debt were accumulating over time. And obviously with the last recession, the recession itself both affected the government's finances, and the government's policy response to the recession added to the government's debt burden as well. While necessary to deal with short-term issues, it created other long-term issues that need to be dealt with. Now, the long-term fiscal position of the federal government is really being driven by changing demographics, as I mentioned, the aging of our society, and more people going on the Social Security rolls and also the Medicare, Medicaid rolls. The first of the baby boomers became eligible for Social Security in 2008. This year, 2011, was the first year for eligibility for the Medicare program. So this demographic wave will hit these entitlement programs over the next few years, and rising health care costs. Those are the two primary drivers. Now, the Budget Control Act of 2011, earlier this year, has improved the federal government's situation. It calls for $2.1 trillion of cuts between 2013 and 2021. And this will help improve the situation in the short term. But even with these changes in the longer term, there's still a serious issue that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, as a follow-up What is the implication, or what are the implications of the failure of the so-called super committee to identify a path forward? And how, if at all, does it impact your efforts at GAO?
Well, the Budget Control Act provided a backup should this, the super committee not reach consensus and move a legislative package to the Congress. And that's a $1.2 trillion sequestration or changes in the caps over the next 10 years. So that part will go forward, but obviously there are many implementation issues associated with that, and Congress always has the flexibility to deal with these matters in ways that they believe should be the fiscal policies going forward. So we will continue to do our long-range simulations and continue to do the work that GAO does to help support the Congress in making difficult resource trade-off decisions, try to identify ways to save money, to enhance revenues, and to help them evaluate policy options for dealing with this long-term fiscal issue.
Gene, you mentioned global interdependence as a trend that GAO identified. Would you describe the changing dynamic of global interdependence? What are the implications of this trend? And how does your work act as a catalyst for greater congressional and public awareness, as well as contribute to addressing some of the problems?
Yeah, this is a very important trend that has a lot of ramifications for the federal government. Prime example is in the financial institutions and financial markets sector. You know, we saw where the federal government needed to change its federal regulatory regime in order to deal with these problems, and the failure to do so led to some of the issues that caused the turmoil in the financial markets. But going forward, there are new capital requirements in Basel III that are international standards, so we have to implement that. There has to be stronger coordination on financial regulatory situations. But the implications go even further than global financial markets and the flows of capital. They go to how we deal with ensuring food safety for our public. You know, most of the seafood and fruits and vegetables now come from foreign sources. In the medical device area, it's been estimated by FDA that 80% of the ingredients for prescription drugs come from foreign manufacturers. And our systems that were set up to provide assurance and oversight over these areas were set up initially for domestic production. And now that we have international productions and flows, we have to be able to do this. And what we've done is we've put oversight of food safety and oversight of medical devices on our high-risk list that we give to the Congress to show and feature these areas as important areas where there needs to be changes made in the federal regulatory scheme and implementation for dealing with these issues. We also have put modernizing the financial regulatory system on our high-risk list as well. So we use the high-risk list as a prime vehicle and then our normal work as appropriate. There's also the last area I'd mention in terms of this global interdependence. Obviously, it has implications for homeland security as well. And we've done a lot of work on visa issues and dealing with these things, and there's a need to really continue to improve our process in these areas.
That's interesting because I want to focus on, say, the food safety example you gave, and then the work you're doing at GAO to facilitate a more holistic way of governing, if you will. And where I'm going with that is the fragmentation that's associated with the food safety system in the country. But what are you doing at GAO to address sort of overlap, duplication, and fragmentation of government programs, given the fact that the budgets are tightening?
We have a new statutory requirement to produce an annual report on overlap and duplication in the federal government that was implemented about a year and a half ago. We issued the first report on that last March, and we pointed out 34 different areas across the federal government that where there was fragmentation, overlap, or duplication. And we identified fragmentation and overlap as harbingers of potential duplication to try to get ahead of the curve on some of these issues. For example, you know, we identified that the military services, each one had their own military command, and that there had been options explored by the Pentagon to try to streamline this process that could have led to savings of anywhere from $200 to $400 million a year. And so it was important to reassess this and take another look at it. We found overlap and duplication in dozens of programs focused on teacher quality, economic development, surface transportation. There were close to 100 different programs. And so there are opportunities to try to consolidate these programs, but it requires careful decisions to be made by the Congress to make sure there are not unintended consequences. And the report also identified 47 other areas where there are opportunities for cost savings or revenue enhancements to deal, for example, with our yawning tax gap, where there's about a difference of about $200 billion between what's owed and collected. So we have this annual requirement. We're working right now on our second report, which will be issued early next year following the president's submission of the budget for 2013.
And one of the things I find about the reports you folks publish and the work your interdisciplinary teams do is they're chock filled with recommendations, practical, actionable recommendations that really do inform both the public and the policymakers. So I find them very helpful. And what I want to get is that you're doing a lot of work, and yet budgets are tight. And my question is, how do you plan and manage the demand increases that you're seeing, given the environment we're in now, without additional resources?
It's very important to be able to set priorities in doing our work. And that's why, you know, this congressional outreach effort that I've been pursuing and will continue to pursue is so critical, Michael. I mean, it's very important to deal with committee leaders, chairpersons, and ranking members of the committees to understand their priorities and to make sure that we're focused on those efforts going forward. And so that's the main thing. Now, we're also, you know, making sure that we are operating our own work as efficiently and as effectively as possible. So we've undertaken a number of internal efforts to try to look at our business processes, to look for streamlining and efficiency opportunities. But really, my approach to identifying this is to really make sure we're working on the most important issues facing the country and where the Congress needs help to be able to carry out their responsibilities.
How is GAO overseeing federal programs and operations to ensure accountability to the American people? We will ask Gene Dodaro, Comptroller General of the United States, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.